Good evening, class. Let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you all the glory, Father. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, Father. We thank you for the finished work. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. Give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Last class, which it was a couple weeks ago, we left off with the two covenants. We was explaining the covenants and what the Apostle Paul, what the Galatian church was getting into, was going back, trying to go back to the law. So what we are trying to do is get you to see the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, who we are in the covenant, and how God sets up covenants. And so what we looked at the old covenant, we looked at some of the new covenant. So I'm just going to give you some pointers tonight and see how we shouldn't be trying to live in the law and live in the liberty of Christ Jesus. Here in Galatians 4:30, I'm going to read it from the Old Testament. I'm going to read it from Galatians. Here in Galatians 4:30, it says that, turn your Bibles to Galatians 4:30. It says, "Nevertheless, what said the scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her sons, for the son of the bondwoman should not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And what the Apostle Paul did, he did it sort of an allegory, and he compared the two covenants. He compared the son of Hagar to the son of Sarah. And he wanted to show how we should separate the two. Here in, let's go back up a little further here in Galatians chapter 4. He said in verse 23, he said, "But he who was born after the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise." Which things also are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar or Agar. And for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is and in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than thee which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise." So we who are in the new covenant with Christ Jesus, we are more children of the promise. "But as then he that was born after the flesh," remember, we are spiritual beings. We're in a spiritual kingdom, and we should act accordingly. "But as then was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless," here it is again, "nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman should be not be heir with the son of the free woman." And like I say, what the Apostle Paul is trying to do, he's trying to explain to the Galatians church that the two covenants cannot exist at the same time. In fact, over in Genesis, where it first started, Genesis 21, and this is where it started with the covenant. Turn to Genesis 21, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to try to show it to you tonight. Genesis 21. And looking at, let's begin at verse 10. In Genesis 21, verse 10, it says, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham," she said, "cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son, here it is again in the Old Testament, is to cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And he was talking about his first son that he had with the bondwoman. He says, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God was telling her again, in Isaac shall the seed be called. Remember what he said. He said, and to you and your seed shall this promise be made. He made the promise to Isaac, Abraham, and to the seed in that promise. This covenant came along some 400 years following the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, where he told him to get thee out of that life, from thy kindred and from thy bondage, and go to a place that I will show you. And he told him that he was going to bless all those who bless him, and he was going to curse those that curse him. So that was more of a promise that God made to Abraham. And then when he brought the children out of Egypt, he brought them into the promised land. He made another covenant. That was a covenant of the law that he made. So this first covenant, that first one was more of a promise that God made to Abraham. The second part was more of a covenant that he made with the children of Israel when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he said, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So he had two children. He had one by Hagar. He had one by Sarah. But the one who was born by Hagar was born of the flesh. And the one who was born by Sarah was born of the spirit. And we're going to connect the two tonight as we go. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. But as we see today, just like Abraham was back then, he didn't want to give up the two sons, but God told him to cast them out. And we who are in Christ Jesus, we are still trying to hold on to the law and also have liberty in Christ Jesus. And that's why when we're talking about sin, we're talking about punishment. And that's why when someone commit a sin, then we try to judge them by the law rather than judging them in Christ Jesus. So God has told them, even God himself, say, heed to her voice, do what she say. God say, he said, cast out this bondwoman. So they, like I said, the two covenants should not be coexist in the same place. In other words, the two covenants cannot coexist in the same place. Either you're a slave under the law, or you are a free son under the new covenant. Let's read some over in Romans chapter 3. And sometimes the scripture themselves will go in and explain to you more than I can possibly explain to you. In Romans chapter 3, looking at verse 19, it begins to read that, says, now we know that what things soever the law said, it says to them who are under the law. We are not under the law. Romans 8 and 1 tells us, say, there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So in the old covenant, it was called the law of sin and death. And so we're going to see why it was called that. It says that now we that which things soever the law said, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's what the law say. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what they did was took the law. They followed the law. They followed the covenant. They followed all the ordinances that was in the law. And if you did not follow every ordinance or every part of that covenant, then you was not right in the sight of God. So that's why they had to come along. That's why God had to create another covenant. He said the old one had to pass away and the new one had to come in, because we could not. There was no way that we could follow the law to the letter. It goes on to say in verse 21, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what sin does is bring you into a place that sin, you know what sin is. It brings into the knowledge of sin. And so if you have a knowledge of sin, if you focus on sin, that which you focus on expands. If you focus on something real hard, that expands in your life. And so and every time they would do something, they would think about it, and then sin would be come up in their spirit. And so now they're trying to do the law to eliminate that sin. It goes on to say, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For he said right here, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he's saying that everyone has sinned, not because of what they've done themselves. Even though we are sin, we have a sin nature in us because of what Adam did in the garden. So therefore, God was trying to justify us, bring us back into right standing with him. And he was trying to, at first he did it through the covenant, trying to justify all of us and bring him back. And what God was original intent was to bring us back to where Adam was in the Garden of Eden. And so he wanted to show us how to do it. And these are the things, all these things that we had to do to get back to that position. But he came along, he made a new covenant, and he put everything that was we were supposed to do. He let Jesus come in. Jesus told him in the Gospels, he said, I did not come to annul the law. I come to fulfill the law. Everything that was part of that law, Jesus fulfilled it by taking on every sin that man had committed and taking it on himself at the cross. So he actually fulfilled the law. And then now all we had to do was believe in what Jesus did, believe in Jesus, accept him as our Lord and Savior. And then now we don't have to try to follow the law. We just follow what Jesus said and become the righteous of God. And because when God look on us now, he don't look on us as individuals or in the flesh. He look on us as seeing us through the seeing, you know, through Jesus. God looks on us as Jesus. Because if you go back and you look at Romans 5 and 21, it say, for God himself, you see it, you say, for God made Jesus, made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because of what I've done. I couldn't do enough. I could not have done enough to make myself righteous in the sight of God. And that either, neither could those the Jews that came out of bondage. They could not do enough, even though they did sacrifices with animals and goats and sheep and lambs and whatever. They could not do enough to make themselves righteous in the sight of God. So it goes on to say, let's look at it again even more. Verse 22. It's that even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Verse 23 say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what happens is we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's why we get to Romans, Ephesians 2 and 8 now. It says we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. So God say, because of what Jesus did and the grace of God, and you have faith in that, we become justified in the sight of God. And we've been redeemed from everything that was in that curse. We've been redeemed from it. It tells us in Philippians that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And so that's what this is talking about, being separated in the two covenants. We need to know the old covenant and the new covenant. When God has set for being justified, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And so, again, all our sins have Jesus took on now. Past sins, our present sins, and our future sins has been taken care of. And that's why when, you know, the grace instructors are teaching now that we cannot sin anymore because of what Jesus did. But because of grace, there are still consequences to sin. Sin has a action to it. The wages of sin is death. And so there are consequences to the sin that we commit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1. And like I said, we've read this one over and over, and we're going to continue to see it. It said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. That's that other covenant. Remember, the first son was born after the flesh. We who are in the new dispensation or the new covenant, we are in the spirit. And so it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So it made us free. Something is made free, then all we have to do is receive that freedom which we have made in. It said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, talking about Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh, he came as a man, and for sin condemned in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And so again, when the Apostle Paul asked the Galatian church, he said, who hath bewitched you to go back to those things that go? I will actually go back trying to follow the law. He says, go over into Galatians chapter 3. He says, O foolish Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only which I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. How did you get saved? Did you get saved? Did you receive the Spirit by the law? They could not receive the Spirit by hearing by the works of the law. No one could do enough by the works of the law. It says, receive you the Spirit. Verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so that again goes back to you again. And how did we get saved? How did we receive the Spirit? We go over in Romans 10:8-9, and the word of God said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our hearts. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, is that thou shalt be saved. And so once we do that, then that supernatural function take place. Nothing that we did. God himself had to do this. This was a supernatural function that taken place through Almighty God. Once we made that confession and said it with our mouth, believed in our heart, then God took our whole nature that was on the inside of us. And he took that nature and he changed it from a sin nature into a righteous nature. Now we have the nature of God on the inside of us. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And so what we're doing, by 2 Corinthians 5:17, it gives us a picture of it. It says that if we be Christ, then are we new creatures, our new creations. That means in our spirit man. We've been recreated in our spirit man, and we've taken on the nature of Jesus on the inside of us. And so it's old things. That means that old nature that was on the inside of you have passed away. Behold, everything, all your whole spirit has now become new. And so that's why when we begin to teach about the spirit, soul, and body, and it tells us that our spirit, our recreated spirit, is perfect because we have the nature of Christ Jesus. We have the Spirit of Christ Jesus on the inside of us. But what we have to do is take our minds. Our mind have to be recreated. We have to submit our bodies, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12:1. He said we have to submit our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And he tell us that we cannot be conformed to this world, but we have to be transformed. Our mind have to be renewed so we can know what God's perfect will is, acceptable, good and acceptable and perfect will is. So those are the ones, those are the areas that we really have to work on in order for us to come in perfect contact with God and watch the signs and wonders, those miracles operate in us. And men can see God's glory through us in the earth realm. Like I said, our spirit is created, but no one can see your spirit. But once we begin to manifest in the earth realm, then they can see our manifestation like Jesus did when he was on the earth. And he was operating in the spirit and through the Holy Spirit. But he was in the flesh, but he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And then he began to do those supernatural wonders and signs in the earth realm. Let's go a little bit further in our notes. In chapter 3 and chapter 4, verse 31. Again, the Apostle Paul makes a statement. He said, so then, brother, when we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So then he said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And in verse chapter 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2, I read that one. He said, behold, I, Paul, said unto you, then, if you be circumcised, Christ should profit you nothing. Remember part of that old covenant when he told him, he said, every male child had to be circumcised. That was part of the old covenant. In the new covenant, we do not have to be circumcised. We are in Christ Jesus, and he shed his blood for us. See, in the old covenant, circumcision was a shedding of blood, and every covenant has to be covered with blood. So that's what happened in that case. But we don't have to do that anymore because Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us. And all we have to do is believe in the blood that he shed for us. So let's read a little bit further. It says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ should profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. He said, if you try to live the law, you is in debt to the whole law. You have to do everything that the law says has to be done. And so if you don't follow the law to the letter, we cannot be justified in the sight of God. So it's just like almost like being in the world system again. Even though we say we're Christians, if we're not doing the whole law, if we're trying to operate in the law, then the whole law, then it's just almost like being sinners and not accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So verse 3 says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. And Christ is become of no effect if we try to live in the law. It says that unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And remember that grace is a free gift. Ephesians 8, go back and think about what it says there. It says you're saved by grace through faith. Everything in the kingdom. We understand that is a faith kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And so everything that we receive in the kingdom, we receive it by faith. And if we are not receiving it by faith, then we're trying to operate in the kingdom. And God said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we who come to God must believe. Hebrews 11 and 6. So what was the purpose of the law? The Apostle Paul again says here, and he tried to explain the purpose of the law. He says, let's go back up a little bit further and see, I think it's over in chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start at verse 15. I'll tell you what, we'll go back up to verse 10. It says, for as many are, Galatians 3 and 10, it says, so for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things that are which are written in the book of the law. So it says all things, everything that was written in the law, all the judgments, all the ordinances, if we're not doing it, you're still under the curse. And so when we try to apply the law in the new dispensation, we are saying we're still trying to live under two covenants. We're trying to live in the law and we're trying to live in the liberty of Christ Jesus. So it says that we should live the whole law. It goes on to say, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 11. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that tree represents the cross in this case. And so Jesus took the curse for us that, again, that we may be made the righteousness of God. Verse 14 says that the righteousness of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's three or four times that we're seeing the same thing. The Apostle Paul is explaining, he's trying to get it over to the Galatian church, that everything that we receive the Spirit by faith in Christ Jesus and not by trying to do the law. Let me read a little bit further. He said, brethren, I speak after manner of men, though it be a but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or add it to it. Now to Abraham and his seed was the promise made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ Jesus. So he's saying that as we get through and we finish reading down through that, it tells us that if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that promise that God made to Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12, because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that same promise that he made to him is also belongs to us because of the promise, not because of the covenant, but because of the promise that God made unto Abraham. In a promise, all we have, God is responsible for bringing that promise to pass to us. In the covenant, there's a God side and there's a man side. In the covenant, we had to do something. That means we had to follow the whole law. In the promise, God made the promise to Abraham, and all he had to do was just believe what he said in the promise, and then he could receive everything that God promised to him. And so he told us the same thing. If we be Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So all we had to do is believe what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross and receive all the promises that God made unto Abraham. There's no performance that we had to do. All we had to do is believe. And once we believe, then all those promises come running to us. What God made to, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless everybody who bless you. Then he said, he also went on to say, I'm going to curse those that curses you. Let's read a little bit further. He says that, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. So man had to know that, in order to know what sin was. So God took the children of Israel when they came out with Moses, when he brought them out of Egypt, he brought them out. But if you didn't know what was transgression, if you didn't know what was against God's commandments and what God wanted us to do, then you didn't know whether you had sinned or not. You didn't know whether you had went against God. So he gave a law that everybody would know what sin was or what was wrong in the sight of God. That was the whole purpose of the law. For wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made and was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And so until Jesus came on the scene, they were still under the law. And so the law was sort of holding man in place until the seed came, which was Jesus, so he could take on and become the righteousness of God in his sight, so that all who believe in him could become righteous in the sight of God. Remember those sacrifices, when they would make sacrifices, the high priest would take the sins of the people and they would put on scapegoats and they would send them out into the wilderness, or they would go into the Holy of Holies. If the high priest were not pure, then if you go into the Holy of Holies in a sin nature, he would die inside the Holy of Holies. That's why they put those chains on, those ropes with those chains, because if you go in and he was not holy, then he would die in the presence of God. So sin, we cannot go in the presence of God in our sin nature. And so that was the whole purpose for these sacrifices. It goes on to say, verse 20, it said, now a mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, for the law of the life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2, for the law of the life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. He says that for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. So there was nothing in the law that could make us right in the sight of God. No matter how much they did, they could not become right in the sight of God. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, but the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, which we are believers. We came into the kingdom, but before faith came, we was kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. It was sort of like training us to say schoolmaster, bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Justified means that justice has been served for the sin that man committed in the sight of God. And so because justice has been served for what Jesus done, and all we had to do again is believe what he did, and now we have been justified in the sight of God because of what Jesus done. It goes on to say that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So we are no longer under the law. And they call that covenant a schoolmaster. We was in training how to become justified in the sight of God. For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. And verse 29, and it's part of the promise again. It say, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so we gave you that promise in Genesis chapter 12. You can go back and read that for yourself, and you can see everything that God made to Abraham, the promise he made to him. And he told him to his seed. And he said, then everybody who accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So we are in that dispensation of the promise that God made unto Abraham. And so how did Abraham become righteous? Because before Jesus came, what Abraham did, he believed what God told him. It said Abraham believed everything that God told him. When he told him that he was going to have his child at the age of 99, he believed what God said. And it says, turn to Romans chapter 4. And we'll see it again. And we'll begin at verse 11. Verse 11 says, and he received the sign of circumcision. That was the way we saw that over in when he took his son out and at the age of 8, and the whole family, everybody, every male child was circumcised. He said, and he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. That's again, that's if you be Christ, then we Abraham sees and heirs according to the promise. Though that they might not be circumcised, that the righteous might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet been being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. There's that law again. Now, like I say, we're trying to separate the two. We're trying to separate the law and faith in Christ Jesus, letting us know that we who are in Christ Jesus should not be trying to operate in the law, but in the law of life in Christ Jesus is how we should be operating. It goes on to say, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. And so if we was made righteous through the law, then the promise itself have become of none effect. And so then everything that Christ Jesus did for us has become none effect, because now we become righteous through the law itself and following the law. It goes on, says, for the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So the law was to show us the transgressions that we could commit against God. And so it wrote them down. All those transgressions: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against our neighbors, thou shalt not covet. And it goes right on through those things. But you had to focus on those things. And when you focus on them, they expand. So every time we thought about not committing sin, the more we wanted to sin, more we wanted to kill, more we wanted to do these things, because now, again, what we focus on begins to expand in your life. And so now all we had to do is believe that Christ Jesus has took care of everything. And so we don't have to focus on the law, because the law worketh wrath. Verse 15, where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, a free gift. You have to have faith in the free gift, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Again, he didn't say seeds. He say seed, Christ Jesus. And so Jesus Christ became the seed. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become heirs of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. And so that's how we get, that's how it all lines up. He says, goes on to, but to that also which of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Genesis, over in Genesis chapter 17, around that area. He says, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called us those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thou seed be. So again, God, when God spoke to him, he had to believe the promise that God made to him in order for him to receive the promise that he had made. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, Sarah was totally past that age where she could possibly bear children. That's why when the angel came to her and told her that, you know, she was going to bear a child from her loins, and she began to laugh. She laughed, and they asked, why did she laugh? She, you know, she just bust out, you know, I can see her, you know, is, you know, thinking that I'm going to have a child from these loins, you know, and you know, she was past that age. And so what the word of God said in verse 20, he says that, and he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what he did after periods of time, after long periods of time, he became fully persuaded. See that, which we have to do, become fully persuaded at what God had promised us, that God himself is also able to perform. And that's once we get to that point, then that's when we begin to operate in the supernatural. That's when we begin to see those signs and wonders and manifestations of God's glory in the earth realm. Once we become fully persuaded, see, that was a miracle that took place once Abraham began to believe God and believe that promise and became fully, because God told him, God said, I'm going to do this. He didn't tell Abraham there was nothing that he had to do. Only thing he had to do was believe what God had told him. And once he believed what God told him, then he said he became fully persuaded that what God promised him, that God was also able to perform. Abraham didn't have to perform anything. God was the one who was going to do the performing. And then he just had to believe that God would do it. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, we receive righteousness through Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross. But for Abraham, it was imputed to him because he believed what God said. And that's how he didn't have to follow the law. He didn't have to do the law. He said, because he believed what God said, then it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was written not for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So he was raised from the dead. And so that was our part. That's all we had to do. All we had to do was confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe that God raised him from the dead. And once we do that, then we are automatically into this new covenant. It was a supernatural act performed by Almighty God. And he didn't just do it to our spirit. He also, again, he did it for our mortal bodies. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at that. See that up. Romans 8 and 11. Holy Spirit brought it up to me. So let's make this our meditation scripture for this class. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. Now, all these are largesses, so that means the Holy Spirit. By his spirit that dwelleth in you. And how did you get that spirit in you? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once he came on the inside of you, once you made that confession, then it automatically became you. He became on the inside of you. We got that new nature. And now we're back to what God said in Genesis. He said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fowls of the air, over the fish of the sea. He's saying over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth, that crawleth up on the face of the earth. So he brought us back to that position of dominion. And so now our place is to begin to believe what God did and what he did in us and what he's going to do through us. And then we can begin again to dominate in the earth. We can begin to reign in life through Christ Jesus. Romans 5 and 17. Let's go over there. And again, I read a little bit. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, the law of sin and death, because, you know, we all died. Adam died, all mankind died. All death is a separation. And so God, actually, he was separated from God's spirit. It goes on to say, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. So as many as receive him, to them do he give the power to become sons of God. John chapter 1, he says, hath abound unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, which was Adam, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So everybody who accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, not by following the law, but by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, have been justified in the sight of God. And so verse 17, we've covered this scripture. We're going to read it again. It says, for if by one man's offense, which it was Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which you have to believe it and receive that abundance of grace that God did through Jesus Christ. Receive it through faith. He says, and we shall grace And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. So again, he's telling us again, he gave us back that dominion as we were in the Garden of Eden, over all the fowls of the air, or all the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. We who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now we got our dominion back, and we should begin to operate it in that dominion. If we're not operating in that dominion, then we have not matured in the things of God. Our apostle has been telling us we're coming to an area of maturity that we can, again, reign in life. That's what God wants for the body of Christ. All God wants to do is show forth his glory in the earth realm. And he wants to do it through us. But we have to mature in the things of God so God can get his glory in the earth. God promised in his word. He said, my glory is going to fill the earth. But you have to get someone to do like Abraham, become fully persuaded what God has promised us, that God himself is able to perform. We don't have to perform it. Our job is to believe that God can do what he says he can do. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you all the glory, Father. And we thank you that we are no longer just hearers of your word, but we become doers of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.